Thank you for hitting that play button. You know I appreciate it. You know I love you. Thank you so much for doing that. Hey, my guest today, this guy's been through a lot in his life. A lot. A lot more than you and I will probably ever go through. How did he come out on the other end, spreading love and kindness and forgiveness? It's amazing. And what he's got to say can help you and me. So keep listening. My guest today, Scott Stabile, episode number 79 of Which Way Is Life, the podcast designed to help you find a healthier, inspired life. And I think we're going to inspire you today. Scott Stabile is the author of Big Love. His inspirational posts and videos have attracted a huge and devoted social media following, including over 350,000 Facebook fans and counting. He is a regular contributor to the Huffington Post. He lives in Michigan and conducts personal empowerment workshops around the world, as well as being an author and blogger. Amazing guy. I really think you're going to like this podcast. Scott, thank you so much for being on with me today. As you know, I like to start the show with the one thing. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
Sure. I would say one thing someone can do is to consider how love can impact their choice in the moment as often as possible throughout the day. So what I found, you know, that's changed my life profoundly is simply asking myself over and over through the day, how does love invite me to respond in this moment? And what that does for us, it helps us in terms of the relationship we have with ourselves. You know, when we get in those self-abusive cycles where we're beating ourselves up with our minds, if we can stop ourselves in those moments and ask that question, what does love invite in this moment? You know, it almost always interrupts that self-abusive dialogue. That question also, it stops us from reacting, you know, with situations with people online when we're going to post something really negative and raging against somebody online. If we stop ourselves and ask us, how does love invite me to respond in this moment? It's going to be hard to go ahead and post that blameful, rageful thing that you were thinking of saying or doing. And even if you can't bring yourself to love, it certainly interrupts whatever else was going on that's carrying you away from it. And breathe, always. Take deep breaths.
Always good. Scott, I love that. Drop the mic. That's it. Interview's over. We don't need any more. You just crushed it for us. Thank you. Awesome. I love
nice
that.
Nice talking to you, Bill.
Yeah. Thanks for your time, Scott. Yeah. Have a good day. So I love that. How can love impact the moment? And I love how you said, because right away when you said that, I was thinking about my interaction with other people. But then you also turned it inside when you said, how can love impact the moment in your own life? And I'm thinking about all that negative self-talk that we always heap on ourselves.
Absolutely. It's constant for many of us. You know, we go so naturally to the negative, and especially in terms of how we treat ourselves. But it becomes our responsibility to interrupt that talk and shift the conversation that we have with ourselves. And that's one question that can help steer us in a different direction.
Right. So the next time somebody cuts you off in traffic, stop, right? Think, all right, how can love impact this moment? How can I
swear to you,
approach
that
this moment
in love?
One
example I was going to use, too, is when someone cuts you off in traffic. That's true.
And then if you want to knock yourself, you goof up or you make a mistake, or you're such a dummy, you're such a dope. Okay, wait a minute. Let's take a step back. How could I love myself in this moment and not be so harsh on myself?
Exactly. Exactly.
That is so good. I love it. Well, Scott, before we dig in a little farther, can you tell us about your personal life today? What brings you joy when you're not saving the world?
What brings me joy? Connection with people, for sure, meaning friends and family and just other open-hearted souls out there in the world. And I get a lot of connection these days, especially through social media and my Facebook community. And it's been wonderful, and nature always brings me joy. Getting outside in the trees, taking walks brings me joy. And love, spreading love brings me great joy.
So good. I love it. Well, before we go any further, I just quickly want to mention Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Scott, can you, just a little context before we get into this a little farther, can you please share your story so we have some background about your parents and your brother and what happened to them?
Sure. Well, when I was 14 years old, my parents were both shot to death in their fruit market in Detroit. They owned a store there and walked in on one of their employees who had been stabbed, and the person who had stabbed their employee and killed the employee as well was still in the store and ended up shooting my parents and killing them both. So that was, I mean, obviously profoundly tragic event. I was 14 and the youngest of seven children, and very fortunate to have an incredibly close-knit group of siblings, which helped significantly make it through that time. And then my brother, 9 years later, one of my elder brothers who had, he was addicted to heroin his entire adult life, and ended up dying from an overdose on heroin 9 years after my parents died. So those were two big, the biggest traumatic events in our family's life.
So, Scott, it probably would have been pretty easy for you to go off the deep end right there. I know you talked about your family, and that's all important, but you probably had to reach down deep to stay positive, right, and learn to dedicate yourself to a life of love?
Yeah, you know, I think a couple things. One, I feel incredibly grateful that I was born with a personality that lends itself a bit more toward positivity and optimism. And I do think that's a gift, because I think many of us are not born that way. Many of us are born with personalities that maybe more naturally steer toward negative, and those people have to work quite a bit harder. I think we all have to work hard in this life to stay positive, you know, and to stay open to the positives in any situation. And at the time, I was only 14, so I didn't know what was happening. You know what I mean? It was so overwhelming. Yeah. I really think that, I stayed on a very straight arrow path. I was a straight A student. I went to a good college. It's like I could have gone the other direction, absolutely, but I can't honestly own that it was this conscious choice as a 14-year-old, as much as some like divine intervention almost that just kept me on the straight and arrow rather than sending me down a road of drinking and drugs and saying to hell with all of this and, you know, letting go of my life in that way. Does that make sense?
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, your personality kind of lent itself to, I don't want to say accepting this, but processing it in a better way than other people might.
Well, you know, the truth is, Bill, I just buried it. and I look back on that. I mean, I write about this in Big Love, the importance, if we want to really move forward in our lives in an open, connected way, that at some point we have to be willing to look at our pain and face it honestly. That is not what I did in high school. It just locked it away and moved on with my life. And I think that was really my saving grace. And only when I was, you know, in my 20s, in my mid-20s, and started to recognize that, you know what, I'm only connecting so much with my life and with the people in my life, and recognizing that the reason I'm shutting down to others is because I still haven't really faced the pain of this experience with my parents, and realized it was time to look at that and dig some of that up and face the sadness and face the grief in a different way than I ever had. And I believe that once I started doing that, I also started to recognize that love is the choice that I want to make in my life as often as possible. And with love as a guiding force, and with love as kind of the base note for everything else, I can face whatever life throws my way, whatever grief, whatever hardship, whatever trauma, and still move forward.
Mm-hmm. But you had to get to that point first, and that came after you said, okay, I've got to deal with this. So for you to ultimately move on, you really had to look at it and process it and deal with it before you could, I don't want to say put it behind you, but really understand it to move forward.
Absolutely. And I don't think, you know, there's a lot of talk about this idea that we have to find closure with our grief. And I don't think that really happens with grief. I don't think anybody finds closure when they've lost someone very dear to them. I think we figure out different ways to move forward in our lives and integrate that pain. But when I was ignoring it, I mean, you know, it still stays within your body. It affects you emotionally. It affects you physically in ways we can't even always know. And it's only when we really start, as you were saying, to make ourselves available to feeling it and to crying and to raging and to whatever else it is you need to do to grieve for the pain in your life, only then can we move forward in a different way, where I feel like the grief no longer controls us in the way that it did when I had it buried.
Everybody throws that word closure around, and you just touched on it. It's closure is not, okay, it's done, okay, everything's great. It's still there. It's a part of my life, but I understand in my life right now today, I can't experience joy. I can't experience love. I can't appreciate and be grateful for good things happening in my life today. Even though the pain of my parents and my brother, they're still there. I feel it. It's still there, but I can move forward and appreciate the joys that life has to offer today. Is that kind of right? How am I saying
that? That's exactly right. And I think that we put pressure on ourselves and on each other by suggesting that we have to find this. Because when closure is talked about in personal development or self-help or healing, it's always, at least in my experience, it's with this energy that we have totally healed whatever that thing is that's brought us great pain. And so what ends up happening, because you don't really totally, I don't believe we totally heal anything in terms of a loss like that. We just, you know, we move forward, but we end up feeling worse because we're being told that we're supposed to find this perfect closure and, you know, not be sad anymore, not be this anymore. And on top of feeling grief still, we end up feeling bad that we're doing something wrong. And I think that that's the risk in a lot of the world of personal development, where we're given these, or in life in general, we're given these specific rules about how things have to be, and the seven stages of grief or five stages of grief. And if you're operating outside the bounds of those rules, you end up feeling like you're doing something wrong. But I just don't think there are any rules for a lot of areas in life, especially where grief is concerned. You know, we all through it how we go through it.
That's true, and we all kind of get through it our own way, but I think that's a really important distinction, what you were just talking about, closure and what you learned. So what else did you learn about the power of the mind? Because what a mental blow you were given. What did you, through your processing of all this, what did you learn about the power of the mind?
Well, it's incredibly powerful, I would say, but we can take ownership of it. Look, I believe our mind obviously influences so much, most of what we're doing in the day to day. And I think that is more overwhelming when you don't feel like you have any control, when you feel like your mind is just doing what it's doing. You don't have any control over your thoughts, you know, but the reality is we do. You know, it's not to say we can control all of our thoughts. So many are happening before we even have a chance to think about them, literally. But we can take ownership of some of what our mind is doing, and we can take ownership of the thoughts we're thinking, especially when we start to recognize that, again, we're abusing ourselves, or again, we're lost in blame for someone else, or we're unwilling to forgive, or all of these other things that take us far away from the energy of love and kindness and compassion. Whenever we're aware that we're steering away from that place, we can bring ourselves back. And that's the power of the mind. You know, that's the power that lives within us to steer and direct and manipulate our mind in ways that actually serve us and not just hurt us.
Right. So true. So very true. So you say happiness is an inside job, that our happiness is within us and doesn't live outside of ourselves and material things and circumstances. Kind of talking about that mind thing again. You know, some people, I don't have enough. I need this. I want this. I got to have this and then I'll be happy. Not true. So how do we put that into practice every day?
Well, I think one important thing to remember also is that it's said often that happiness is a choice, and you see all these memes that say happiness is a choice, but I don't believe that's true. Happiness is a feeling, and our feelings aren't choices. You know, if we could choose happiness, we would be all be very happy people walking around the world. But the reality is, if you've lost a loved one or your heart is broken, you can't in that moment choose happiness and just be happy. But recognizing that we absolutely can choose actions that stand to lead toward greater happiness in our life. And there's great value in doing it. You know, if you know that taking walks in nature stands to bring more happiness into your life, then it's incumbent upon you, if you can, to take more walks in nature. You know, rather than leaving the possibility of happiness, leaving it out there to maybe strike, why not do more things, take more action that creates a greater possibility for happiness to arrive in our lives. Does that make sense?
I love that. That's so good. And we talk a lot about happiness on this podcast. And, you know, that's a whole industry of itself. You know, learning to be happy. You can be happy. Happiness is a choice. But you say, no, it's a feeling. So make choices that basically lead to those happy feelings. Like you say, if going for a walk in the park, you know, makes you feel happy, do that. If reintroducing yourself to playing guitar makes you happy, do that, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. if stamp collecting makes you happy, do more of that. Get into that feeling of happiness. Because you're right. If it was a choice, I'm going to be happy right now. But I've tried that because I've heard that a lot, and I've tried that in my own life. Be happy. Be happy. Well, I just don't feel happy right now, what just happened to me, right?
And then you feel worse. That's the other thing. It's again.
Then you feel guilty. Why can't I get happy?
Wait a minute. Yeah. Why can't I choose happiness?
Why can't I get happy? They said if I choose happiness, I'm going to be happy. Why aren't I happy? What's wrong with me?
Exactly.
Then the negative self-talk. It's a spiral down. I hate that.
Exactly. So then you feel sad and like a failure on top of it.
I'm a sad failure.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, that's really good. I love how you said that, Scott. That's so good. And for my beautiful listeners, you know, I love you. Think about that, because I think that is so very true. So another thing in Big Love, you say nothing stands to transform us, our relationships, and the world more than a commitment to live our lives from love. How do we do that on a day-to-day basis? How can we more so live our lives from love?
Well, I think one thing is what I was saying in the beginning, to continually ask ourselves, what does love invite in this moment? You know, when we're asking that question, we're basically, the energy we're putting out to the world is that we are committed to living our lives from love. And I think that the start for any big change, decision, habit we want to create is a commitment. And I think that's when my life changed the most, when I realized that, you know, my greatest commitment is to love and to operating from the energy of love. And to remember, we all fall off that train. You know, even if you want to be the most loving person in the world, there are going to be moments where you're a raging jerk, you know, and that's just the way it is. But the trick is, within the commitment, you get yourself back on that love train, and you get yourself connected to that energy. So how do we do it? Because love, for me, is the base note for all that's good. It's the base note for kindness. So love in action is being kind when you're out there in the world. Are you offering a smile to people? Are you offering a hand? Are you connecting with people in the checkout line at the store? These are all opportunities for kindness, which is just love in action. Empathy and compassion, they're love in action. Are you taking the time, instead of just judging someone online or in the news or a friend or neighbor, are you taking the time to put yourself in their place, in their life, and try to imagine what it's like to walk in their shoes and to live the life that they're living before you judge them? That's love in action. You know, forgiveness is love in action. Authenticity, because authenticity is self-love, that's love in action. You know, are you willing to be yourself out there in the world, even though yourself is outside of the way you've been conditioned to be. These are all opportunities. We're given opportunities constantly. I mean, from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, we are being offered opportunities to exercise love.
Right. And that's kind of what I was looking for. So throughout the day, look for those opportunities to share love. And you're right. They're out there in every interaction almost we have. So I was going to a charity golf outing yesterday with my brother-in-law, Bill, my sister, Lori, and my wife, Randall. And we're at a stoplight. My brother-in-law, Bill, is driving, and light turns green. And the people in front of us, heads are down. They're obviously texting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're waiting. We're waiting. My brother's like, come on, boop. And he gives a little tap on the horn. And my sister's like, Bill, come on. What are you doing? And then we're like, how do you know what's going on in their life right now? So we made the turn, and then they turned into a hospital. And we're like, see, what are you beeping at them? Who knows? Maybe their mom just had a heart attack, or maybe somebody's rushing to have a baby, and here you're beeping at them. You don't know what's going on in their life, right? So it's kind of like what you said. Walk a mile in other people's shoes, or try to understand what they're going through before criticizing them or beeping your horn at them.
Yeah, especially now, Bill, honestly, because our world feels especially fractured and people are coming at each other with such anger and such resentment and such blame that now more than ever we need empathy. You know, we need to just step back and imagine for a second what it is like to be walking in the shoes of another person before we attack them, because that's the way, you know, when I think about my greatest experience around forgiveness was forgiving the man who killed my parents. And it was only through empathy that I got there. It was only when I started to recognize that nobody that was coming from a place of feeling worthy or being seen or being loved could ever make the choice to kill another human being. And that his life must have been so painful. And though I couldn't connect to the idea of killing someone, I could certainly connect to the rage I had inside where I thought I wish they had died, or I could connect to the feeling unseen and unworthy and all of those horrible feelings that we as human beings all can relate to. And once I was able to look at him through that lens and connect to his humanity, that's when I found forgiveness.
So empathy ultimately was the way forward to forgive the man who murdered your parents.
Absolutely. It was the path to forgiveness. It is the path to forgiveness more often than not, I believe.
And if we were to use that in our daily lives as well, that would be a great way to practice spreading that love.
Absolutely.
And when you do that, you feel good about yourself, too. When you spread love and you treat people with kindness and compassion, that comes back to you, right? You feel better about yourself.
That's the reason I do it.
Right.
You know, I don't pretend to be some selfless for everyone else person. I mean, if love didn't feel so good, I doubt I would be so committed to it. I mean, it feels wonderful, you know, to connect with people from that place. You know, that it's life-changing.
Right, and it can give you that feeling of happiness again, which we were talking about earlier. So think about the opportunities throughout the day and maybe set an intention every day. Today I'm going to treat the situations that I encounter. I'm going to come at them from a standpoint of love.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I love it. So, Scott, what do you hope most readers will take away from Big Love?
You know, I would say a few things. One is that I hope that they feel less alone in their lives and recognize that we are all connected and we're all struggling, and we're not only all struggling, but we're all facing the same types of struggles. Our circumstances may be different, but we all know grief, you know, we all know sadness, we all know joy, we all know everything. That's the human experience, and I hope that, because it can feel, especially when you're going through a hard time, it can feel especially lonely, and we can feel especially isolated and like nobody can understand what we're going through. And I hope the book really reminds people that, hey, you're not alone. You're not alone. We're all out here. We're all in this together. I hope also, I mean, what we've talked about it here already, but I really hope it encourages people to consider love as a guiding force in their lives, to start playing with that question, looking at the opportunities where they can weave a little more love into an interaction or into an inner dialogue, and just seeing how that changes how they feel about their lives.
Mm-hmm. Great, great point. So
I also hope people laugh, honestly, because the book's meant to be funny too. Like there's so much seriousness in the world that I wanted the book also to have, you know, humor. I wrote it with humor so that we can all remember to, yes, there's a lot of heavy stuff in the world, but there's also a lot of lightness and a lot of beauty, and we don't have to take everything so seriously. There are other approaches.
That's a great point. Great point. And again, back to that feeling again. When you're laughing, you're feeling good.
Yeah, exactly.
And learning not to be so serious, learning to find the humor in a situation can be very valuable as well.
Absolutely.
Well, coming up, we get the high five from my guest today, Scott Stabile. And if I could ask a favor, I have one simple goal for this podcast. I want people to walk away with something they've heard to improve their life, to make their life better, to have more meaning and joy. So if you could do me a favor, hop on over to iTunes, rate and review the podcast. Just search Which Way Is Life. And if you could rate and review it for me, I would really appreciate it. That way I get a chance to help more people. The High Five with Scott is next. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way Is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way Is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ Which Way Is Life for your free audio book. Time for the high five with my guest today. Scott, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, question number one. We often hear about purpose and meaning in life. For someone struggling with that right now, can you share a tip on how to gain clarity of purpose and meaning?
I would say follow your curiosity. You know, we don't always know what our passions are, but we are all curious about different things. And I found so often that when I wasn't clear about a purpose, but I followed some curiosity, it usually leads me to purpose and to meaning. So follow your curiosity.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Question number two, you have a saying, be a spot of color in someone's gray. How can we be more supportive and help other people that are having a tough go of it?
Well, I think one way is to just ask what people need, you know, to be really open and present. And if we see people are having a tough go, to ask, and to let them know. We don't always have the right words to say. We often don't, especially if someone's going through a hard time. But simply saying, hey, I'm here for you. Whatever you need, you know, I'm here. And even if it's just to listen, even if it's just for a hug, just letting people know that they have someone out there and they're not alone in their struggles is a huge thing we can always be doing for people.
Mm-hmm. And ask. That's something I think we don't do sometimes. We assume what the other person might need, but asking, I think
Absolutely.
That's a great tip. Question number three. So, Scott, what motivates you to do what you do?
You know, honestly, people. Like, seeing how crazy this world is and seeing how powerful love is and wanting to impact the world with more love. And then through, through my social media communities and my friends and things like that, recognizing how powerful connection is. So I get a lot of inspiration and a lot of energy from the people in my life, from my friends and family and the people in my social media communities. That keeps me going. So it always comes back to people and connection.
Absolutely. All right. Question number four. Do you have a favorite quote you can share with us?
Yeah, this one probably won't come as much of a surprise, but it was something a friend said to me many, many years ago when I was bitching about another friend and blaming the friend for everything. And my friend just held my hand and said, Scott, there's no justification for lack of love. And that's kind of been one of the mantras I've carried with me through my life. There's no justification for lack of love. And recognizing that any time I am trying to justify being this or that, and it's my mind, it's my ego, but that is not love talking.
Hmm, That's so good. That's a good one to carry around with you when you get in those situations. All right, question number five. Finish this sentence. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is?
Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is, I guess, I feel like a broken record, but that nothing is more powerful than love in action. Mm-hmm. And I've learned it over and over and over again.
Well, that's really important and a great way to live your life. And hopefully through your lessons and your teaching, we can all be better at it. So we thank you for what you do every day, Scott. Thank you so much. And the book is Big Love. If you want a lot more of what Scott and I have talked about today, pick up that book. I think you're really going to like it. And Scott, how can we connect with you?
You can connect with me through Facebook. I've got a page there with a great community, and also my website, which is just scottstabile.com. And you can find me on Facebook if you type in Scott Stabile. And yeah, the book's everywhere, you know, your favorite online places and in stores and, you know, wherever you like books to get your books.
All right, sounds good. And we're going to put all those links up on the show notes at radiomd.com. And Scott, as we wrap up here, I want to leave you with one of my own favorite quotes, which is, remember to enjoy the little things in life because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Scott, thank you again for your time.
Bill, thank you so much. And thank you for this wonderful podcast and what you're doing for the world. I really appreciate it.
So much fun talking with Scott. I love guys like that. I really do. Pick up that book. I think you're going to like it. And try to put into action what Scott was talking about. And thank you for listening. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at radiomd.com. And again, if I could ask a favor, if you could rate and review the podcast on iTunes, that would help me out a lot, and I really would appreciate it. Which Way Is Life is produced by radiomd.com, award-winning health podcasts. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter and Facebook. You can also check out the show notes at radiomd.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.